I'm speaking with Nava Smolash. Nava is a member of No One Is Illegal in Vancouver, and she is a supporter of Lambar Singh, who recently returned to India, despite the fact that he had been in sanctuary here in Canada, in British Columbia, for almost 1 year. Nava, welcome to No One's Legal Radio.
Hi, Jagin. It's nice to be here.
Nava, Lambar Singh returned to India this past Monday. It's a decision he made that wasn't his first decision. Could you explain for our listeners why Lambar Singh left this past Monday, despite the fact that he had been in sanctuary and demanding and campaigning with his supporters to stay in Canada?
Lambar stuck it out for almost a year in sanctuary, unable to leave like pretty much the one room that he was living in. And his hope and all of our hope for him was that he'd be able to stay here and live here and then bring his kids here and live with them here, be reunited with them here, because he was very well supported. He had all of his physical needs met. He was surrounded by people who had really come to love him and consider him family. And you can see that in some of the media shots as he was leaving. People were crying and hugging him. And he had medical care provided. He was getting free acupuncture, and he was on a special diet, and he was improving physically a lot. Like, from the time when I met him until he left, you could see really noticeable improvement in his ability to open his hands and feed himself, pick up things. His general sense of his energy had improved a lot. So we were all hoping that given the enormous community support that he had and his health condition, that the government would accept his humanitarian and compassionate application. But the government decided to make an example of him. And in recent weeks, they started coming to, quote-unquote, visit him and intimidate him, basically. CBSA officers were coming in unannounced, just walking into the house where he was staying on Gurdwara property without warning, and he never knew when they were coming. And from what it looks like from my perspective, they took advantage of his fragile health using threats, intimidation, trying to shame him, trying to wear him down, so that he ended up living in a state of constant anxiety and stress. And given his health condition, it was, I think, quite remarkable that he endured that situation for as long as he did. So he made the choice to go be with his children for whatever time he has left. And he made that choice with a lot of dignity and with a lot of strength. And I think, we support that choice, even though it's brought up a lot of emotions for people.
Well, I'm wondering if you could talk about that, what it was like for supporters who were respecting Lambar's choices. And the initial choice, of course, was to stay and to fight and to take sanctuary. And the fact that he returns isn't less of a fight. As you say, it's done with dignity. It's respecting his choice. But still, it does bring up mixed emotions. And I'm wondering, in your role as a supporter and being with other supporters, both within the migrant justice movement in general and people from the community, what that was like to live through this, but also in the last few weeks, especially this past weekend and on Monday with Lambar going to the airport and returning, what that was like for supporters.
From my position, I've been really, it's hard to explain how much the emotions have been complicated, but I've been incredibly sad the last couple of weeks as it's been coming closer to the date when he was actually going to be leaving. And I've heard a lot of people express pride at his insistence on his dignity and on his choice of his actions, and a lot of hope because of the legacy that his struggle for dignity leaves, the fact that he insisted on his right to exist as a human being, and the fact that he stood up even in his frail physical condition and under so much anxiety and stress and fear, that he stood up for his right to live in dignity, the kind of dignity that a lot of us take for granted, I think gives people a lot of hope, and people feel very proud of him. But at the same time, you know, even while respecting his decision, I think there's a lot of sorrow and anger and so many mixed emotions about it. It would be hard to really explain. Well, he's definitely an inspiration to all of his supporters because he faced violence, intimidation, threats, harassment. He basically stood up to everything that the CBSA could throw at him, and stuck it out for months on end while not, you know, even to someone in a strong physical condition, being stuck in one room and never being able to leave, and knowing that if you step outside that one space or that one temple property, that the, you know, big men with guns are going to come get you and put you on a plane when you can't even walk, it shows incredible amounts of strength and dignity. So I'd say a mix of inspiration and sadness and anger.
Nava, I know that the media response, particularly the media in the lower mainland of BC, has been a major issue. So as much as we can point to the harassment and the actions of the Canadian Border Services Agency and the Canadian government, there is a complicit role played by the media to the point where supporters helped to organize a complaint against the certain media outlets for their coverage of this case. So can you talk about the media response throughout this this entire case with Lanbar Singh?
Yeah, well, one area where I've been personally really angry and frustrated and feeling like something needs to change has been the media misrepresentation of this story. And you can really see the impact of that when you look at, if you look at the CBC website or the CTV website, the responses that people have been posting have been just incredibly ignorant, specifically about the refugee and immigration system in Canada. Many people have expressed misconceptions about the reasons for the deportation, and it, to me, the media has fed those misrepresentations, would have to do with this queue jumper myth, you know, this idea that people just have to wait their turn to get into the country, and that simply isn't how the immigration system works. There is no queue. If you have money, you get in, and if you don't, you don't, and that reality seems to be completely lost in the media representations of this issue. So the reason that CIC and that Ministers Day and Minister Finlay were so bent on refusing what should have been a really clear-cut humanitarian situation have more to do with class and with race than they do with any kind of legal reality. You know, had Lambert come from a wealthy family, or if he were Polish, for instance, like another man who was in a very similar situation and who was granted the right to stay on humanitarian grounds, then I think if that had been the case, Lambert's situation would have been very different. So the media, over and over again, set up in that echo effect that they were, they just listen to each other and repeat each other's words without really thinking themselves about what they're saying, set up a false cause and effect that fueled public ignorance about the refugee determination system. They didn't ask the government or CBSA or CIC or either of the ministers involved any difficult questions. They really gave the government an easy ride, and they decided to ask the paralyzed man the tough questions, which, you know, I thought was really brave on their part.
Now that Lanbar has gone back, he went back this past Monday to be reunited with his children, a bittersweet choice, of course, because it was his choice, but it's a choice made under the threats
under
and
duress.
Harassment of the CBSA, and clearly not the choice that he wanted to make.
Right.
But throughout this case, we've seen community members mobilized to prevent, essentially, a deportation. We've seen Lanbar take sanctuary, joining other sanctuary cases that we've seen across Canada, some of which continue to this day. The fact that he took sanctuary in a Sikh temple was something that was unique, that had never happened, although it's pretty clear now that the CBSA was continually violating it. But I'm wondering, as a supporter, as someone who's part of the migrant justice movement, what are the lessons, what is sort of the bigger picture here that we can take from this? I know it's sort of very fresh still, because if you've been close to him, just a couple of days after he left, is way too soon. But I know that No One's Legal Vancouver has put out a statement. And I know you yourself have some analysis and lessons to draw from this entire episode. So I'm wondering if you could share that with our listeners.
Yeah, well, as you said, it is still really recent. But what it means to me is largely about recognizing that citizenship is... what we have here is, as citizenship, is the last form of legally sanctioned discrimination, and often, usually, translates into legally sanctioned racism. It means recognizing that the comfort and safety of many Canadians is won on the back of the suffering of non-status people and of people who are prevented, for no better reason than their citizenship status, which is arbitrary, from living with the kind of dignity that most of us take for granted, right? So, in my mind, especially having been at, let's say, the airport protest, where suddenly you had an unjust situation that was being prevented by 1,500 people, a lot of whom were women, and there were a lot of kids running around at that protest, who don't normally necessarily feel that they have any voice. To me, that will always stay with me as a moment of incredible power and incredible inspiration. And it's sort of refusing to accept business as usual, where you have migrants and non-status people doing all the dirty work for low pay, who live in states of permanent precariousness and fear, so that people like me can have clean buildings and cheap childcare and someone to pick our vegetables and clean our toilets. And I think that Lambert choosing to be public, choosing to go into Sanctuary in the public way that he did was taking a stand against that unjust system. And I think that that's quite inspiring.
Nava from No One's Legal in Vancouver, thank you for joining us on No One is Legal Radio.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure.